2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources.
Welcome back, everyone. Final segment of Inside Sources here on a Tuesday. I am Boyd Matheson, opinion editor of the Deseret News. Great to be with you today. And, you know, we've been talking about all of the great things that have been going on. We can say our politics has failed, but America will not. And part of the reason it won't is because of the American people, because they just do things. And one of the projects that we have been tracking over the last several weeks is Project Protect. And very pleased to be joined in studio today by the Sarah Weaver. She is the editor of the Church News and has also been following this project very closely. Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
It's nice to be here.
It's almost as good as a barbecue or a smoked meat dinner to have you in studio. So here we have Project Protect. Just for our listeners who maybe haven't been following this as closely, I actually want to play a little sound of an interview that we did with President Gene Bingham, who is the General Relief Society president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and one of the key drivers of this effort.
Over 100 years ago, Relief Society doctors and midwives helped establish some of the first health institutions in Utah. And this is an exciting time to these many years later to partner with Intermountain Healthcare and University of Utah Health Systems on a new project. These people are dedicated, creative, and some of the finest healthcare providers in the country. Utah is successfully addressing COVID-19 with strong social distancing, personal protective equipment for medical professionals, and the use of cloth masks by the general public when away from home to help each other keep safe.
So as President Gene Bingham giving a little bit of an outline. Sarah, give us a few more details in terms of what was the purpose of this? What's been accomplished over the last 4 weeks?
Well, they were hoping to help protect Utah healthcare providers as the COVID-19 crisis intensified in the state. And they turned to the local citizens and said, how can you help? And as a result, they needed 10,000 volunteers a week for 5 weeks to sew 5 million masks.
That is so extraordinary. I was being interviewed on Bloomberg Radio yesterday, and they were asking how things were going in Utah. So I described this Project Protect, and they couldn't quite wrap their head around it. They're saying you had 10,000 people show up every week and pick up kits for 100 masks, and then they get them done by the end of the week. Give us some of the by-the-numbers stuff, because this is just fascinating to me.
Yeah, so these kits are prepackaged. They pick them up and they sew them. And if you have an average kit has 100 masks in it, it takes a good sewer about 15 hours. Some of those sewers may have gotten faster as time went on, and some of us may have stayed equally slow, taking lots of hours. But on average, each kit took 15 hours. That's about 750,000 donated hours of time. And if you compare that to the average work week, you've got 52 work weeks in a year. People take 2 weeks vacation. And so that's about 2,000 hours of work a year that we each put in when we work full time. And so the bottom line is Project Protect represents about 375 years of full-time work.
Okay, I'm gonna say that number again. 375 years of full-time work being represented by this project. And again, it's got one more week to go. They give everyone a little extra time because of the Memorial Day weekend. What else do they – well, actually, you know what? I want to go to We've got some sound from Sharon Eubanks. You and I were out there on one of the mornings, one of the Saturdays, when people were delivering their completed mass for those healthcare workers and frontline folks. And we had a chance to talk to Sharon Eubanks, who heads Latter-day Saint Charities and is also a member of the Relief Society General Presidency. And she talked about just how amazing it was to watch who was showing up having completed these mass.
I was at the Murray DI last week on Saturday watching people come in. And what struck me was the variety of people who are coming. So, you know, in a Cadillac are an elderly couple with matching face masks, you know, and they've worked all week. They're so excited. And right behind them is a monster truck with a young couple with kids strapped in back seats, you know, and they're bringing theirs. And every car was somebody different with a different situation. And to me, this really points out this is Utah. This is who we are, and we respond to situations like this.
I just love that description between the old folks in the Cadillac to the young couple with kids in the back of the monster truck. But everyone is participating. I think she nailed it. She said, this is Utah. And again, this collaborative effort between Intermountain Healthcare, University of Utah Health, Latter-day Saint Charities, and a host of other nonprofits and volunteers is really an extraordinary thing. Sarah, as you followed this, what else has stood out for you in terms of what this project really represents?
Well, I had no idea that we had that many people in this state that could sew.
Or left in the world that knew how to sew.
at our house, usually it's my husband that uses the sewing machine. But really, people rallied in large numbers. And for those people who couldn't sew, they connected with a neighbor who might be able to pin the masks or fold them the way they needed to be folded. You saw a lot of collaboration of people working together in neighborhoods to complete this. And in the end, the project was so successful that Latter-day Saint Charities and Project Protect is planning an encore week in mid-June. So if you didn't participate, you'll get one more shot.
It's such a great story, and it's such a great example to me of just what happens. It's really the essence, I think, of who we are in this state in particular and in this country. It used to be the old barn raising, you know, if your neighbor's barn burned to the ground, the community just showed up to raise a new barn. And it didn't require the government to tell them to do it. It didn't require a threat of a tax or a penalty or imprisonment to get people to do it or any kind of incentive program. It was just an ask. And you just show up and you do that. And these stories are so inspiring. In fact, can you give us just a quick version of this went all the way to the markets in Africa, Mozambique?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The General Relief Society president, C of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, told a story about a mask project in Beira, Mozambique, where local traders in the dense markets were at risk because they did not have the money to buy masks or the materials. And so the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints purchased some fabric, gave it to local Latter-day Saint families and asked them to sew that. Now, what was most impressive to the Relief Society General Presidency was that most of the families in Mozambique don't have sewing machines.
Yeah.
So these masks were completed by hand.
Oh.
And then they were delivered into the markets for the people who were actually supplying the food that the village in that area were eating. And it again was just like what we're doing here, a community solution to a community problem.
Yeah, community problem solving is really the answer. And it just goes back to what we often talk about, that never underestimate the power of one person. We asked President Bingham about this a couple Saturdays ago, and she said this.
It starts with an individual. And now we have one individual at a time who signs up on Just Serve, and then they come one car at a time, one person at a time, they sew one mask at a time, and then they bring them all back. One person at a time makes a huge difference. It's like you're talking about a waterfall, you know, one drop, but when all come together, then look at the power that those ones have together.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Sarah Jane Weaver, the editor of the Church News. Thanks for joining us to talk about Project Protect. Great program. Great things to continue to come out there. All right, as we wrap up for a Tuesday, just a reminder that nothing is too small, no impact is too insignificant to matter and to make a difference. Now it's your turn. I'm Boyd Matheson, opinion editor at the Deseret News. Thanks for joining us on Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. And as always, as you go out into the world today, make sure you see something that inspires, say something that uplifts, and do something that makes a difference.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.